is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Kane is in the...
Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the sun up? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ is brought to you by Battery and Tire Specialists, Burger King, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, Lowe's Wholesale, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, Thompson Trading, and Tropical Gyros.
Put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your back. They be lying through their teeth, hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh. Put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats. Then get busy on they see, that's how that shit tell me, man. That's how my daddy raised me. That glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause a brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban, I still never slow my plans up.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. It is Wednesday. It is wet on the outside, but we're going to try and make that ride enjoyable for you on the inside of the car for you, all right? We got a special guest for you today, all right? Should that be a great conversation? We will be getting to him in short order. My special guest today, obviously, we mentioned it yesterday, and he's in studio with us. I get him in short order, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, the F&M Ratificancy. So we're going to have a good conversation with Mr. Johnson. Always glad to have him in studio. If you want to chime in and be part of the conversation, here's how.
Here's how you can become a talking head. Brought to you by BTC.
Tax Lines powered by BTC 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free and anyone in the family on is 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right, before we get into our interview with Mr. Johnson, you know, I'd like to keep you in the know and get you where you want to go. And don't forget, register to vote today and get free access to one of the hottest concerts of the season, starring Johnny Cake, Sweet Emily, an international artist to be announced. Register now. The clock is ticking. Your valid voter's card is your concert pass. Register to vote today for free entry to see El Pauly and the Pawn Band, Wendy, Music Vibes by DJ Tank and Little Giant, and your international artist to be announced. Find your nearest registration station today. All brought to you by KO Productions. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break. We will be having a great conversation, as we always do right here on Talking Heads, with the F&M's ratified candidate for the Yamacraw constituency, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson. That's coming up right now on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this. Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
KFC got that crispy onions crunch, take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little playful wild. Brioche bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC get chicken with it, hey. Taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so lit it. Got my whole crew doing that thing. Crispy onions, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going off.
Introducing the new sweet chicky chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get chicky with it.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. And don't maybe long, but the reward is strong. Register to vote today and get your free ticket at getouttovote.mysuncast.com. That's getouttovote.mysuncast.com for the Get Out to Vote concert at the National Stadium Saturday, April 18th. Make the wait worth it. Register to vote today. Then upload your voter's card photo to getouttovote.mysuncast.com and enjoy complimentary entry to see Sweet Emily, El Polly, the Pawn Band, Wendy, Bahamian Trey, Johnny Cake, and international artists to be announced. So if you want to be there on Saturday, April 18th, get out and register to vote. And the email again is getouttovote.mysuncast.com for more info. All right, let's jump on in. As I told you, our special guest today, the FNM's ratified candidate for the Yamacraw constituency, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, no stranger to the show. Ellsworth, welcome back. How are you? Good to see you. How's the family and how's everybody?
Well, the family's doing very well. I'm delighted to be here. And I'm delighted to be in the fight for an opportunity to serve the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I would just like to say hello to my mother, who's in Dowd's, Kid Island, after having a very traumatizing experience at the PMH, and I'll speak about that today. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to that individual from PMH who gave me a call and said to remove my mother because they did not have the supplies to treat her. And so today, through the good graces of God, she was able to go to Florida.
Amen.
Come back, and now she's walking and driving in Kid Island, a lot of potholes, but she's doing well.
And it's very sad to know that the public health care system is something that we should be afraid of. We should be able to embrace it.
It's in crisis.
The highest in the land, from the PM, straight down to the everyday Joe and Jane should be able to go in there and feel like they get the same treatment and the quality treatment that's needed.
On my walk about Yamacraw, I met the president of Sister Sister.
Okay.
They support
great organization with breast cancer.
Support
and breast cancer awareness and recovery and so on.
And I had the opportunity to sit with her. And I must say, I was traumatized after learning of their experience, the lack of equipment at the hospital for their testing, and the fact that those persons are now being asked to leave the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to find treatment in circumstances where they don't have funding. So I want to thank that beautiful young lady. And she's a cancer survivor and has a powerful story. I wish you could have her on the show. And for all of those persons who are suffering not with, with breast cancer, it's nothing like seeing the picture with a lady with, you know, her breast actually decaying and not being able to get
And that's something that we need to look at, because we're 4 to 1 more times prevalent in this region
and
anywhere else in the world. All women for breast cancer and the breast cancer strain.
Men included too.
As well, yeah, correct.
And what she is asking or demanding is that we have to do a research to see why it is that so many Bahamian women, and young women, it doesn't discriminate in terms of age.
Correct.
Coming, and it doesn't discriminate based on your political or and or social standing. You know, a lot of people are dying, and they're dying because they're not, a lot of them, they can't receive the treatment. So I want to congratulate her for the work that she does, and along with other persons who are working extremely hard.
To Yamako, I agree, they should be commended. Hats off to all of those organizations, but we need to pivot to Yamacraw.
Sure.
What's going on the ground in Yamacraw? What's the latest update from Yamacraw, from the residents?
For us, I've told my team, it's wartime. It's about saving a country. And this morning I sent a note into the chat groups and I told them that it was, I think it's about 34 odd more days to the general elections. And I sent them a clip of persons who celebrate before the victory. And you had good boxers who got knocked out because they decided they want to climb. So we have to stay focused, stay on purpose, stay on key, and continue to fight. But in Yamacraw, we're not isolated from what the average, ordinary Bahamian experience. And so in terms of immigration, health care, the high cost of living, the lack of infrastructural upkeep, you know, it seems as if we've outlined a very large budget for the construction and maintenance of roads, but persons just seem to be cutting them up, and when the rain comes, they fall back into potholes. Lighting on the parks, we did a strategic analysis of all of the parks in Yamacraw. Mine is that they're a clear and present danger to not only children, but persons who visit there. Broken boards, broken nails, and all the present minister had to do for every park, the park on Holly Road, he just had to go to the Ministry of Works, and he would have seen that we had worked with the Ministry of Works. And all those parks have strategic drawings, and the monies were set aside to actually have those parks upgraded. And so there are families who are concerned about the high cost of living and taxes. And I want to commend...
So let me understand this. It was left in place by yourself from your previous tenure?
Oh, yes.
That parks and stuff had been budgeted, and all they had to do with.
Yes.
So he didn't pick up the playbook and run with it.
As a matter of fact, one of the park at Twynham, we had already started that. Now there was some disagreement in terms of how we would do it, because there was supposed to be a consultation with the community members so that they could see the plans. But the funding was there, and the contractors had been identified for the upgrade of those parts. Of those parks, and a number of persons in the community knew about it. As a matter of fact, we decided to put up the billboards, and to see 4.5 years later that absolutely nothing has been done, but actually there's been a retrograde or whatever. So now when you go there, you would find that there are yellow tapes around the parks inviting.
But I can't understand how beaches and parks in 4.5 years could go over well over 54 million in overages of budget. And the parks are in deplorable condition. And I'm thinking, if you're going to go over by that much, at least make sure the parks are in order.
And it's all over the New Providence. When you go and you look at the parks, where children are expected to go and play and to recreate, the average park in the communities, and I know that it's not just reflective in Yamacraw. I saw it in South Beach. I saw it in a number of other constituencies where persons raised the concerns. And as I walked through the community, they've raised the concerns that they've never seen it so deplorable. Because you had ministers, persons who represented Yamacraw, like Dame Janet Boswick, Mr. Simonet, and the former PLP minister, Ms. Melanie Griffin. I heard she's not feeling well. I wish her all the best.
Yes, we do.
Who did a good job in keeping those parks going. And I did a phenomenal job. I'm not going to not toot my own horn in terms of keeping the lights on. Speaking and having town hall meetings to get from the people what they see the concerns are and how do we partner to do our best if we can. And so there's a lot left to be done. We're working along with the inmates at our magistrates, at the correctional facility. And we created the largest backyard farm in Reading Garden because I had my challenges. And they've simply abandoned it. We're going to go back and we planted the trees. The children would come and they would read. And rather than taking that project to another height, they went in another park where they didn't plant one tree. And then they ended up by the library on asphalt, saying that they have a backyard farming.
How does that work?
I don't know how it works. And so, you know, we're working hard. I'm presenting myself face to face with members of the community because the first thing I believe is that they ought to be able to look you in your eyes. And any questions that they may have about your professional or private life, they should be able to ask you those questions. Then, tell them why I'm running. And one of the most important things that we're requesting of the community is that to tell us and in an unbridled way how they see the country is being run and how we can partner as a group to preserve the Bahamas for Bahamians yet unborn. And they haven't held back. What we realize is that if anybody tells you something different, they're lying. That there is a serious case of hopelessness in the Bahamas, a distrust for leadership, and the community wants to partner with you as their employee to see how they can better the Bahamas. So when you raise issues like the healthcare system, where their families are there, and they see what they go through, as I explained about my mother, when you talk about BPL and the high cost of electricity, despite the fact that the PLP said that they would not raise it, and that the contract for the actual company was given out, a no-bid contract. When you have places like
I'm going to ask you about those
Cat Island, Island, where they need electricity, where seniors go to retire. The electricity is more times off
than on. A Lutheran tax every day, and water out.
That's right.
And the power out and the water off.
That's right. And so you find that we have a government, with Mike Yamarko is saying, you have a government who is much more concentration is on diversion and deception by putting up big billboards, having a lot of, and for Jesus Christ, forgive me, for God's sake.
Behave yourself. I remember last time I could call you. Behave yourself,
no,
please.
None
Thank
of
you.
That today. No, stop the partying. Bahamians are tired of the partying, the rum and roti, right? Persons, I don't know where they're getting all these monies for these off-trail bikes. Or vehicles.
And ATVs.
ATVs, expensive clothing, plenty food, plenty drink. When people cannot afford to pay their rents, when people cannot afford to keep their children in school, when the taxes are killing them, you find that there are MPs who are just going around and partying. And so that's a main concern that's coming from the community, that they seem to want to concentrate more on partying rather than dealing with the issues that affect the average, ordinary Bahamian. So we're on the ground, we're working, and we're concentrating. And so I'm just here. But this is one of the things I want to focus on today, voter registration. You started off by speaking to that. And I know that a lot of people, persons in the community and even in the Family Islands, this is the last day, are extraordinarily frustrated by the process. I see that the Prime Minister is going around, and he's doing a whole lot of PR campaigning. I saw he had the persons from social media out the other day, which I thought was just a PR glitch, because if you're really serious about social media or conventional media, you would try your best to augment or bill by trying to get everybody out of it by giving them contracts. But stay on the line. We've been complaining about the addition of more staff, better payment for the parliamentary registration staff that's out there trying their best to do the work, and for additional hours or additional locations for persons to register. And so we find that young people are getting frustrated and are leaving. And I think one of the things that this government did not expect is the large turnout that we're seeing. Because last election, we saw the lowest voter turnout in the history of the Bahamas. And so now I think we're poised to see one of the highest voter turnout in the history of the Bahamas. And I would like to know if they could produce the record of the number of persons, because I know as you get there, you sign your name, the number of persons, when I was there the other night at Elizabeth Estates, the gentleman came out and he read the list of persons who were to be invited who are there. And we discovered that a large number of persons who were actually at that center had already left. Because after 12, at some stations after 1 o'clock, persons had not been served and were still there waiting to be registered. So this is the last day to register, to participate in one of the most important experiences that you can as a Bahamian. And so I'm going to encourage you to just stay put, be patient, and try your best to register. If you want to verify, you can go to any one of the constituency association offices. They have a master list they can look at, especially in Yamacraw, if you want to see whether or not you're on the list at this 12-hour. Call the constituency association office or go by Holly Road or on Cornwall Boulevard. Just give them your name and they'll check the listing and see whether or not you're on it. If you're not there, go to the registry there at Elizabeth Estates. Go to the one in Fox Hill and see how best you can get registered.
That's something that I wanted to bring this up later, but now that it's here, we can deal with this, and I'll pivot to the other questions later. But we're talking immigration. Obviously, with your past, you know, involvement in the immigration department, there's a major concern amongst Bahamians, regardless of how many times people say, well, the vote cannot be compromised, there's too many steps and too many processes. There's a general concern among Bahamians that there's an influx of foreign nationals poised because they're documented without regulation. Obviously, we've come across irregularities that could actually compromise our election process. I mean, what's your stance and obviously the FNM stance on this with the situation with the current fraudulent documents that have come to light? You know, Mr. Pinto had mentioned it. They said he was crazy, and now, boom, here it is.
Listen, I'll deal with Mr.
And then furthermore, you know, Bahamians need to be reassured that the process is going to be the process and it's going to be a transparent one.
Listen, there's nothing that can, as you've seen around the world, as when people are of the view, whether real or imagined, that the process for an election was not transparent. We see that all around the world. There was a reason why Mr. Ingram introduced the ink. Because we know for a fact persons were leaving from one island to go to another island to vote. We know for a fact that persons who, UFOs, participated in elections. When I go from door to door and I say, listen, we would like to do an audit of the household, one of the things I say to them, because we've had the unfortunate experience, as miraculous as it may sound, where dead people were able to vote.
Stop it.
Yes. And so I want to give you, I did a piece the other day, and I want to tell you of one of the ways that someone could vote. And I want to highlight a Supreme Court decision where a judge had to look, where they inquired into how it was possible for an individual to get citizenship within 8 days. And the judge, and they were able to call Mr. Dwight Benneby, the Deputy Director of Immigration, as he then was. And he gave evidence in the Supreme Court of the Bahamas that in his 43 years as an immigration officer, he had never seen such a miraculous occurrence where there was no evidence of a file, there was no evidence of an interview, there was no evidence, and I'll read it says, there was no evidence of a file, there was no evidence of an interview, there was no evidence that there was a telephone call made by the interview. The gentleman did not know the coat of arms. He did not know the flamingo. He did not know what the marlin represented. And when asked, he said that the flamingo was a bird. He said that the marlin was a fish. And so he said, this is what he said at the end of it. He's a man that he believes in God. And he said, if he believes in God, he must then believe in miracles. And what he has observed in his 43 years has only got to be a miracle. And the gentleman was given citizenship with absolutely no record in the immigration department. Now tell me, with such glaring concerns by a man of 43 years, unquestionable integrity, working in the immigration department, if he has those concerns about how this was done, do you think that it looms in your mind that he probably didn't get it the right way? But this individual may be on his way with a registration card to vote.
Correct.
And I asked the Prime Minister another question in that public announcement that I made. There was some men, when we made the amendment to the Fisheries Act from the Dominican Republic, who we denied immigration status, invited them to leave the country. But now we know that some of them are now Bahamians. And one or two of them is before the courts. Whether or not, after the amendment to the Immigration Act and the Fisheries Act, have these men been given citizenship? And so to say that is not possible does not resonate with me. Because at the passport department, it has been revealed that there are not ended up with a passport, you know. They have citizenship. And they're questionable persons who have gone through the process. Tell me, how do you go unless you have an interpreter? Or what has happened? And this is one of the things that looms in Bahamian's
mind. Speaking of interpreters, I don't see why we need interpreters at the polls, and I don't see why we need interpreters at the registration or depots.
Think about this. 50 years old, we've never needed interpreters. What has happened in the past 5 years? We didn't need them in 2021. That less 4.5 years later, approximately, we now need all these interpreters. The Immigration Act, the act that governs registration of persons who come ahead to the Nationality Act, and this is one of the things that concerns me, because I think that the government has gone ahead, carte blanche, and registered a lot of persons to be Bahamians. And there is a misunderstanding of the act. And Justice Dame Joan Sawyer, as she then was, I think after she retired, she said something that was simple and was true. She says, after you have a right to apply, that right does not give you the right to become a citizen of the Bahamas, right? And so there are some things that you should concern yourself with when you're naturalizing people. And one of those things is public policy and good governance. Think about it. You don't have sufficient facilities in your educational system to provide teachers, nurses, doctors, police officers, or the supplies necessary. So in those circumstances, you don't naturalize more people than your community can deal with. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, if you're already operating in a deficit, you shouldn't compound the numbers to increase the deficit. You're not going to get out of the hole.
And you don't naturalize people.
And you shouldn't put Bahamians as second-class citizens in their own country.
Absolutely. And you shouldn't naturalize, I saw a video going around, you shouldn't naturalize people or persons who are patriotic, loyal, and committed to the Bahamas for that moment. You see what I'm saying?
It needs to be long-term.
Yeah, it has to be long-term, and that's why the Nationality Act says you can remove that designation of registration as a citizenship. But what we're finding now is a lot of people who are being naturalized shortly thereafter, they leave the Bahamas. And our national designation of a passport...
We've been a stepping stone for the longest.
...is under threat because what you're realizing, no intention to live in the Bahamas. A lot of the people leave and never come back. And a lot of the people who apply are outside of the Bahamas trying to get that designation in case they have to go elsewhere.
Correct.
They want to be here. And so you want to ensure that if
ICE decides to deport them, they'd rather come to the Bahamas than go to Haiti. Even though they're rapping all over social media that they're down with Haiti.
Or anywhere else. But this is what you should check this, you know. And I know that the Americans are listening. You would be surprised at the amount of persons who are given citizenship and go to the American embassy and they're not given a visa because they don't pass that test. Because they appreciate that they only want to use it as a stepping stone to get somewhere else.
Correct.
And they may not return. But I want to deal with this. There are too many people. I always hear a person saying, you know, one of the first, I have a good friend who's running now, Jay Phillip, and I want to say something to you, Jay. They tore down your poster. And as I said on your page, one of my heroes is Muhammad Ali, and I'm speaking to Jay right now. And one of the things I love about my hero is that his opponents did not always fight fair, including the American government. But through his commitment to his God, his family, his integrity, and his dignity, he was able to beat them all. Jay, you have the it factor. Stick in there. And this is why I raised Jay. When you speak to him, even though he's of Haitian heritage, he's a Bahamian. I hear the person speaking about our first Haitian Bahamian parliamentarian. He was a Bahamian. As strong as Sir Lyndon's.
But I mean, recently, didn't we have the PM just recently align himself with that diaspora?
Yes. But I want to say this. No one can deny that the late the father had a strong Jamaican heritage. But never did you hear him say he was anything else but a Bahamian. He was a Bahamian. And we need to stop naturalizing people who are only Bahamians when they go to the immigration department to say the pledge. And when they leave, they have no identity
and no allegiance.
No commitment, no allegiance, and no loyalty to Bahamas. And Bahamians don't mind people being naturalized, you know. What they mind, as what was occurring in America, where you have thousands of people who are saying to you, to your face, I don't resonate with you. I don't believe what you believe. This is not my country, especially persons who have never lived out of this country. And I call some of those persons ingrates. And we have to re-educate them. Because you don't get your, you don't use a healthcare system,
our educational system,
our social welfare system, everything, and work in the community and turn to say, I have no obligation to it. That makes absolutely no sense. And so any Bahamian who is committed, loyal, and patriotic have an obligation. And I say that in the context that no country can the injection of foreign nationals.
But it has to be done correctly.
And places like Dubai, they show us how we can do it. You just have to properly put the facilities in place.
And manage it and maintain it.
And manage it properly.
Let's get to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ollie. Good afternoon to Mr. Ellsworth Johnson.
Good afternoon, 52. Good. What's good, man?
I knew there had to be somebody with sense to be speaking the absolute truth, right? So, firstly, you know, I'd like to thank him for the... Well, I can't call it nostalgia, but of the talk about the past case involving all of this BS, right? So, you remember Naughty?
Yes, sir.
You remember me enough times on the radio saying that one would have to be an imbecile, right, to believe that there is absolute adherence to the Constitution as it relates to giving out citizenship. You remember that?
Several times, on several shows.
What I'm saying is, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, just highlight a simple case that's on record that has been adjudicated. But the thing that he's saying is quite frightening for me. So the questions for me, after all these revelations, et cetera, and, you know, I'd like to thank Mr. Ellsworth Johnson for the juxtaposition that Cleaver, C. Allen, and me, and everybody else was talking about, in which the narrative of hating people. You know, I'm not a hater, because it's not... But what I'm saying is, it gets you nowhere. But what I'm saying is, you know, all of a sudden, if someone's going to be proud to be Haitian, and I proud to be a Bahamian, and we all are ex-slaves, and you were French and I were English, would you supposed to be more superior or better than me? But you still, and then the thing is, some people still bleaching their skin. So I don't know which you're comfortable with, you're in. But what I'm saying is, man, for God's sake, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson just highlighted that our concerns. You know, I talk about this experiment. Like I said, I can't remember if it's Pablo, whichever psychiatrist did the experiment in which rodents were placed in a compartmentalized compartments, and they were made to proliferate, and they induced a ration. And they showed you the behavior of the rodents subsequently. And the rodents stopped having babies, and they started to become warlike towards one another, fighting. So with NASA only 7x21, and I would like to juxtapose what Mr. Johnson was saying, and the serious nature of this, yet still we have entities dubbed national security, all of this BS, behemonization, et cetera, et cetera. And we, the behemoth citizens, are being pushed aside and cannot even voice our minds as if we must conform, and only the conform imbeciles and political dupes have the right mindset. You give me a break. You're filling up the schools, the hospital, et cetera, et cetera, but nobody must complain. Just consume, conform, and just shut up.
That's shut up and take
now,
it.
Erdenotti.
Shut up and take it.
This is a sick... Yeah, give thanks, Mr. Orton. Give thanks.
Gracias, man. Good points as always, 52. Let's get to the other calls. Talking heads.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Noddy?
Hey, what's going on?
Everything all right. Just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Ellsworth Johnson for his time where he served as our Minister of Immigration. And I say I want to thank him because I remember in particular an interaction I had with him where he was very adamant that if there were individuals within our country that could fill a particular job position, he saw no need for any other nationality to have to come in to fill that job position. And I thought that that was one of the most noble positions that a minister of immigration could have taken to protect the Bahamian sovereignty, our workforce, and our employment here in the country. And so, Mr. Johnson, I thank you for that position that you held firmly as our senior. And so I look forward to more stellar work from you as it relates. And thank you for laying out this case as it relates to immigration and how these things can happen with the example of the case that you shared with us just now. Hats off to you, sir. Thank you. And I pray and hope that Bahamians are listening and will use this as an opportunity to show up at the polls and have our voices heard. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's get to the other call. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Nori and Mr. Johnson Nibble.
How are you?
Yeah. Mr. J, I would like to ask you a question, you know, because based on what the gentleman said a while ago, the caller, right, the stellar performance you alluded to while you was immigration minister, I would like to know, right, if what we're seeing now, right, if any of what we're seeing now at any level was happening under your watch. I'm just curious about that, right? I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to say one other point, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer, right? Right. And, and I also would like to know, sir, right, is that shanty still in, sir, right? And why is it still there? I'll hang up and listen.
Let me just say, when I was Minister of Immigration, very proactive, very riveting. I had the opportunity to speak directly to the United Nations to let them know that we are a sovereign country. There are rules that govern the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, especially with shanty towns, and that we were going to apply our laws and our orders. And I told them their approach to the Bahamas was not balanced because they're not treating us the way that they're treating their own country, European countries, in the way that they dealt with immigration, but that we promised to adhere to all of our international obligations and human rights obligations. We did just that. With regard to when I was immigration minister, yes, things were occurring, and that's why we called a group together. I was the first minister to ever establish a secret shopper program that monitored the minister himself. And so we had an independent agency outside of the immigration department, and the director of immigration, who was then Mr. Clarence Russell, knew that everybody would adhere to that group, that independent group, and we were to take their recommendations and implement them. And so that's why you had cameras all around immigration. We started focusing heavily on appointments. We didn't want the young girls in the corridors or whatever have you. We then brought in AIBT, the Bahamas Financial Services Board, and Atlantis. They brought their expertise and they loaned that to us. And we were able to interface with the company who was supposed to digitize the immigration department. I told the then prime minister I didn't think they should get one more contract in the Bahamas, because if they said that they digitized the Canadian experience, they should have been able to digitize, after getting so much money from us, millions of dollars,
our experience,
a long time ago. Because when you compare the Bahamas to Canada, we were just like a small compartment in their basement. And so very quickly we went cashless and we would go paperless, where all applications were to be onboarded. Speaking about the shanty towns, the Minister administration was the only administration that had the guts or the intestinal fortitude to do a strategic analysis of all the shanty towns. And but for the fact, and they were moving out, but for the fact that they went to court, we had to follow the orders of the court, and the matter was going through the court. We did a strategic operation in Andros, where we went down. We had to fire some people after that. We did sting operations as it relates to the shanty town that's opposite where some of my relatives live. I live in the back. That is now gone. You would see that it's cleared. I can give Naughty a letter that I wrote to the then minister of before becoming a minister to no less a person than Mr. Brave Davis himself, complaining about the shanty towns around me. The other thing that I did is I got caught out, as you can ask my brother, Mr. Kent Johnson, and there are some other distinguished persons who I got court orders for, and we enforced them, and with one of those locations, we actually destroyed all of the homes. So I've always been vigilant about shanty towns. The other thing that concerned me about it is that the human right infractions that go on in those places, because of a young lady, I've said this over and over again, in a place that has very little interference by the social welfare, you can't, and without light, you can't imagine what could happen to a young lady where you had transients moving through, in and out of them. So yes, I was very forceful, and I always made my views about shanty towns national and international, to the point where the UN had some words to say to me, and I spoke back to them respectfully, and they had absolutely anything to say about me again, because this is my view. Something has got to be wrong where someone can come to the Bahamas and want to live in a shanty town. That person is then naturalized. Leave this this country and go to Canada, and he moves into a home. He leaves this country and go to America, and he doesn't think about building a clapboard place. Why does he want to do it here? Why do they want to do it here? And so I have very little tolerance for it, even though there's a human element that we have to apply. If Bahamians are expected to go through the process and purchase land, everybody should be able to do it. And as a national security and a social, cultural, and national security crisis, that people could come and take thousands of acres, and this administration is doing absolutely nothing about it. And so my leader has introduced on what we have done in the past, and you can speak to any immigration officer. I want to commend Mr. Clarence Russell, wherever he is today, for the things that we partnered and we did together in immigration. It's lasting. But what we should have had by now is a system that's interconnected with all of the law enforcement agencies, so that when persons come in, and then using as best we can, everybody's biometrics should be in the system, so that they are not able to come and go and come and go with different names, and nobody knows who they are. All you need, with the national security crisis, international security crisis we have now, being so close to America, for one person to come in. And I always give the story about the 9/11, where the person tried to come into the Bahamas. And we have never honored that immigration lady who said, no, you can't come here. Just think about it, if they were able to come here that day and set up a cell. America wasn't going to sit offshore and say, we won't see them, you know. I could only imagine an aircraft carrier pulling off the coast of Nassau and coming in to get them.
Let's get to the phone calls real quick. And this one call, other callers will get to you after the break in the 5 o'clock hour. You could either hang tight or call back. Texas, I'll get to you in the 5 o'clock. Let's get this one in right before the break. Talking Heads.
Yeah, Naughty.
Good afternoon.
What's going on, man?
You tell me.
Naughty, listen, I sat on an executive board with Mr. Elsway Johnson. I just want to congratulate him. Mr. Elsway Johnson was the best officer that we, minister that we've ever seen. Denisio Diagla was the best in tourism. And also, Jeff Lloyd, of course, he isn't running anymore, won the best in education. The FNM has proven itself time and time again, and the PLP has proven itself time and time again how crooked they are and how untransparent and accountable they are with the taxpayers' money. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much, Mr. Elsway Johnson.
Thank you, sir, but I have to say something. You know, when I read the Nationality Act and I see the way that you can take away, and I don't want this whole discussion to be about Haitian nationals, because you have a lot of different people.
Correct.
All over the place.
And a lot of places too, especially behind them gated communities too.
Yes, doing a lot of things. But you know, you had persons like Soloftus Roker, and I think if we look at the philosophy and ideology behind the crafters of the Constitution and the Nationality Act, where they say if persons don't show themselves to be committed, loyal, and patriotic to the Bahamas, you can actually take it away. If we apply the standard, as Mr. Loftus Roker said, we would have never had this problem.
And our special guest, the F&M's ratified candidate for Yamacraw, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, into the 5 o'clock hour just a little bit, and then, of course, we'll talk sports. Call us, hang tight if you want, or call us back. Text us, I'll get to you. Keep it right where you got it. You're listening to the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads, which continues right after this.
One in the air for the people ain't here. Two in the air for the father that's there. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't want to be there. None for the trying to hold him back. Five in the air for the teacher not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that
KFC got that crispy onions crunch, take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little playful wild. Brioche bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC get chicky with it, hey. Taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so lit it. Got my whole crew doing that thing. Crispy onion, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going off.
Introducing the new sweet chicky chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get chicky with it.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians' new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's. We put fashion at your feet.
Did you know that Valvoline's Max Life not only protects against friction, but also leaks, deposits, and sludge? The four major causes of high-mileage engine breakdown. Long live your car! Max Life is the first lubricant specially formulated to protect the engine of your high-mileage vehicle. Visit us today and see our full line of Valvoline lubricants, chemicals, and antifreeze coolants, distributed by Battery and Tire Specialists, located 7th Terrace, Centerville.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape. A carob Greek fusion, born juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more. There's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. We're going to continue the conversation with our special guest, the F&M's ratified candidate for the Yamacraw constituency, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson. We're going to pick up the convo in a second. Let me just get to the text callers. You can hit us back now, and we'll get you right on. Good afternoon, Naughty and Mr. Johnson. Let Mr. Johnson know we wish him the best in this upcoming election, and please don't run hot today on your show. Good afternoon, Naughty. Both parties always talk about what was left in place. Why wasn't it done? Now, if the F&M wins, then in 5 years from now, the other parties will say what was left in place hasn't been done. But none of you seem to be doing anything at all except getting rich on the people's back. That is for both the PRP and the F&M, Naughty. Good afternoon, Naughty. Excellent show. I got a well-educated son of the soil who is willing to work for the betterment of the Bahamas. Now they say free Wi-Fi for parks in the Bahamas and for families, but there is none. Parks are falling down these days. We need to rescue the Bahamas. I agree with Mr. Johnson. Parks are important and they need to be maintained. Mr. Johnson, I can't wait to see you as my next MP for Central and South. I'm sorry. Mr. Johnson, I can't wait to see you and my next MP for Central and South Duluth, Ms. Philippa Kelly, serve together to make this country a better place. Can we see a debate between your guest, Naughty, and Mr. Zane Lightburn about their positions on everything? Would you be open to a debate with your counterpart in the VIP?
It'll be worse than the rumble in the jungle.
My Lord, rope-a-dope. Good afternoon, Naughty and Mr. Johnson. Is this talk about interpreters at the polls real talk? They mean outside the polls, correct? Because not in the polling station. Because it would be illegal for a language to be used in the polling place. Doesn't understand. The polls would be shut down. Good afternoon, Naughty. Great show as always. Mr. Johnson, keep up the good work. My question is, how are people getting citizenship through the Nationality Act when it is going against the Constitution? The Constitution says you have to renounce to become a Bahamian, but the Nationality Act says renounce or declare. Good afternoon, Naughty. I forgot to mention that the lack of revocation of our documents obtained via fraud is sickening. Are we serious? Can we have a Freedom of Information Act on issued citizenships? Well, we got to talk about the Freedom of Information Act in a second, but I'm going to let you respond to some of those texts, and I think you have responded to some of them. Let's get to these calls right now. Talking heads.
Naughty, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jeff. What's happening?
My good brother, Brother Ellswood.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice on the radio. Two things here very quickly. First and foremost, Brother Ellsworth, seeing that you are not directly in the Department of Immigration or the Minister of Immigration, the policies that were basically that irks the Bahamian people that is in play today, and the Bahamian people would like to see some of those policies removed because it's not in the best interest that we feel in the best interest of the Bahamas or the Bahamian people. What is your view to take that task on, grabbing the bull by the horns, being very bold and presumptuous with the moves that have those things taken out or revamped?
Let me
My
say
second
this.
Question before I go, Naughty, is simply this. In the case of Ms. Keturah Ferguson, many Bahamians hold her in high regard. We do not like the shower or removed out of her position or forced to be moved out of her position. Would it be perhaps your intent because of her professionalism and her experience to have her either return back to the department if she so desires or become a master consultant to help with many of the cases that we are unaware of still internally, but many of the cases that we do know? Would you go and re-engage her for her professionalism back to the immigration department? Thank you, Naughty, for taking my call. Look forward for the answer. Good day.
Thank you very much. Let me first, before answering that question, send out a special shout to Dame Janet Bosick, who told me that upon becoming Minister of Immigration that we should guard it jealously. I think we at this point we have what is necessary to safeguard our Commonwealth. We just need men and women who are there who are prepared to do it. You can't get a citizenship in 8 days and there's no traces to how you got it. And you can't, if you're going to give out let's say if someone is graduating, you don't take them to a church service at a funeral service to give it out. You don't appoint a judge at a funeral service. It just makes absolutely no sense. The Prime Minister sits as the chairman of the Immigration Board, along with every other minister of government. And the reason why it does that is because your chief servants are there. And from their ministry, they're listening, they have their ear to the ground, and they're doing what is best in the interest of the country. And so if they would just do their jobs, we have a proliferation of immigration consultants in this country. Hundreds of persons leave certain countries with work permits with no identifiable employer, and they're on the side of the road trying to get jobs. That has to stop. We just need the willpower to do it. Ms. Keturah Ferguson is a phenomenon, what I described when I talk about the digitization of immigration, the sting operations, the mystery shopper program. So she was there. She worked with our steering committees. I want to thank Mr. Malcolm Adley. And they understood that not everybody who was entitled to apply got citizenship. A lot of people got permanent residents with the right to work, or they just didn't get it because you just didn't qualify. In order to be a citizen, this must be your only country. And I will tell you of a real life experience I had with a gentleman. He wanted to be a citizen of the Bahamas, and I was questioning him. I said, if the Bahamas go to war now with the country from which you come, which country will you choose? And he hesitated. I said, you took too long. If we were at war, I'd have to kill you, because you don't seem that you want to be a Bahamian and fight against that. And so if you don't show that your love, your desire, your commitment, second only to your God and your family, is your country, you don't deserve to have it. But I know Naughty raised, so yes, of course you would want her back as, and that's not my choice. I have a leader who would be the next prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Our leader, along with his cabinet, would make that decision. But if I were to give her a reference, I would say she should be back. I want to deal with public procurement and the large amount of contracts that are being given out. You know, in 2021, the other side relied heavily on an in-house expert, Mr. Daniel Ferguson. And in an article, and you can go and read it, there's an article in the Tribune, and it was even on, I wouldn't call that name, he wrote several articles, and he looked at the difficulty, the reason for what it was intended to remove all incidents of irregularity and the lack of transparency. And so he said, that is why we got the public procurement. Let me just read a piece. He says, however, as I have said on numerous occasions, the government's mandate for all ministries and agencies to place all procurement opportunities on the e-portal, he's saying he wants every application to go in there, is not being adhered to. They are not uploading or advertising their bids, and most importantly, the tender award portal, which is to be used to show all contract awards, has not been utilized. And so he makes reference to friends, family, and lovers. And at that point, because it was intended that every person for a contract over a certain amount, you would enlist it on the e-portal. And once the date is closed, it's closed, because our rating in internationally was down. And so in order to get monies, they said you had to clear it up. You have to show that qualified persons are making these applications and they are fair opportunity for the right person to get the job. For the government now to come and give BPL no bid, the airport, the financial secretary says there's no bid, and now just before an election, you give out millions of dollars in
contract.
And
don't forget the $183 million for the roads in Grand Bahama. And don't forget there was some more given out as well, too.
Yes. And, under the Fiscal Responsibility Act that was replaced, within a certain period before elections, you couldn't give out contracts.
We got to get to the phones. But point blank, Bahamians want to know. I mean, Marlon Johnson mentioned the other day that I think $700,000 was allocated for the implementation of the Freedom of Information Act under this administration. Where has it been reallocated to? Because obviously, according to their chairman, they're not on the Freedom of Information Act run. They ain't for that.
No, they're just into travel.
And I think what Bahamians want to know is if the FNM becomes the next administration of this country, and Mr. Michael Pintard is the leader, and obviously you're part of that administration and part of that cabinet, will the FNM execute and implement the Freedom of Information Act?
The act has already passed. Let me give you a little history. Under the Minister administration, the experts were brought in, and every ministry was at the police headquarters, and the process for implementing the Freedom of Information regime, they received the training. You were supposed to select, the commissioner was selected. Where is he now? He's at home. He's a former judge.
They
tried literally to destroy
it. Because it wasn't implemented. It was not put into play. It was not made to run and function.
And they tried, after removing him, to destroy him. And the government, and to bring transparency, honesty, and accountability, like the Public Procurement Act and the Freedom of
Information. That was the next thing. I think we need the Procurement Act and we need the Freedom of Information Act. We need to know where our money is going.
And think about campaign reform finance. You have the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Prime Minister saying we have absolutely no interest in it. In circumstances where senior public officials cannot account for a large amount of monies that they have. So just think about it. We have the security forces, the airplane being used to move tons of drugs. Think about it. You have ministers. I heard someone say, all get rich. Well, sir, let me tell you something. I turn to from 7 in the morning, and my party knows that I work until about 4:35 o'clock. Then I go on the road. I still have mortgage and children and family, right? And you can't make love on hungry belly. So I got to take care of my wife. No other man can do that. So, but these things that would bring accountability to the Bahamas, no less of the person than the prime minister, is saying that he isn't interested in accounting to the people to the freedom of information process. And he is not going to count and put the, as Mr. Ferguson, because, you know, a lot of their ministers went to bat for Mr. Ferguson. I understand he's still in the prime minister's office. And for the financial secretary to be one of the main proponents of non-bid contracts, what it speaks to, it speaks to a level of corruption, whether real and or imagined. You don't give out, they wouldn't do that to their monies, where you give out millions of dollars. Right? They found from the Bermuda trip that these guys just took
from
a trip.
From Bermuda Gate.
And ordinarily, under the Freedom of Information Act, you'd have to tell them about it. You'd have, under the Freedom of Information Act, we, under the our administration, produce a report every year that said how much citizenship was given out. These guys don't want to tell you.
No, the freedom they, of, they are alien and allergic to accountability.
In terms of what's happening in our public health system, you'd have to tell the people. And this is what saves the country. But they're saying blatantly that they're not going to tell you, and it's not your business. Mr. Mitchell says when
they forget they work for us,
they forget it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
Mr. Naughty.
What's going on?
All right, Mr. Johnson, how you doing, sir?
I'm well, sir.
There's a few things, man. I know you don't want to talk about the Shandy Town too much.
I could talk about it.
But let me say this to you guys, too. And these passports given out. Let me tell you what needs to happen in this country. First, you need to pass a Shandy Town Act and make it law that they cannot be existing in this country. Break them all down automatically. Make that a part of law. Rather than going in there, jumping up and down, screaming for all kinds of things, let's do these things first. When these people come to reapply for these passports, what needs to happen is, before those passports are issued, they need to bring their birth certificate, because we don't know who's coming to this country. And I can tell you, they come with a bunch of different names. You understand what I'm saying? So they need to bring their birth certificate. So if you was granted citizenship here, you should have citizenship, birth certificate on file. You see what I'm saying? But it's a lot of illegality going on right now in this country when it comes down to that. And what they need to do too is, going forward, all these fights in these schools and this division, they need to keep track of these students. Document these students who are always in these fights. And if they are part of the immigrant and when they come to apply, they cannot get it because it's a risk to our society. That's the only way you can keep that crime down in school. They need to put things in place that show that these people, also our people, can abide by, but they would have more to lose. So they'll behave their backside in these schools.
Good point. Good points, caller. Good points. Good stuff. Let me get to the other caller. But that's two valid points. Talking Heads.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I called. Sorry. Mr. Johnson, good afternoon to you as well. Always delighted when I hear you on the radio because you speak truth to power. You come from deep within and heart as it is. It's one of the things I always admire about you. I'm too like that person. Listen to me. My comment today, all these issues with passports and immigration, all these things need to fall under the Ministry of National Security, especially these passports. I was always one of the persons that said a passport, anything we got to do with citizenship and all stuff, these are supposed to come under national security. You know what I'm saying? I hope that sort of all these things will be focused as national security concerns and not foreign affairs. It's not foreign affairs matters, these are national security matters, and of course, I would hope that the next prime minister would take on the responsibility as the national security minister and not finance. And also, the number one priority of a prime minister is supposed to be the national security of his country and not money. So I think a focus on some of these things needs to be changed, especially a redelegation of these various ministries, because a lot of things have mixed up and be in places where they don't need to be. That's what I'd like to say for now. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks. Good points. You want to talk to any of those points from the last couple of callers? I got a couple of texts for you before we wrap things up.
The other thing I wanted to say is that One, my leader said that if you come in the wrong way, there would be no opportunity for you to be naturalized or be given citizenship, and we have to really, really deal with that. And I want to say to Bahamians, because I oftentimes hear people speak about xenophobia, saying to people how they should come, saying to people that, listen, when persons do come the right way, there should be an exchange of expertise. You should be exchanging those expertise. When the late Mr. Arthur Dion Hanna Sr. spoke about Bahamianization, that's just what he meant. That because you're a Bahamian, you're much more important than your vote. The first opportunity should be given to you for land, for opportunity, for training. And so if persons come in and they are prepared to work and train Bahamians, or there's an exchange of expertise, good. But I want us to move away from this thing where when we start to speak about immigration, and immigration is just not only about our Haitian brothers and sisters, there's all kind of rum shops over the hill.
I think that we have to get it clear, you know, migrants or foreign nationals in our country. Yes, there is a proliferation of Haitian nationals. It's been that way for years, but they are not the only ones.
Absolutely.
There's a huge number of South Americans.
Absolutely.
Which includes
North America,
Cuba, Colombia, Panama, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Bolivia, all of
Philippines,
that.
Philippines,
You got a strong contingent of Canadians.
Yeah.
You got a strong contingent of Europeans. And when you look around, I think we have a strong contingent of Africans as well.
Yeah.
And when you look around, you got the Filipino contingency, you got the Chinese contingency. We have a lot of foreign nationals here. And we have a multitude in gated communities of a lighter hue that are here, and nobody knows what they do and what they into.
But
the poster children for foreign migration and foreign nationals are the Haitians. Yeah. We need all and sundry to be reined in and dealt with properly.
Absolutely.
In accordance to all of the international treaties that we've signed along with the human rights. But at the same time, if you check out all the boxes, you could be here. And if you don't, then you gotta go.
You gotta go. And the other thing about that, Nadia, I always try to highlight, speaking to directly to it is not xenophobia.
No.
The Constitution creates a degree of phobia when it says how you should come, how you should live, and how you should operate. And so to say to somebody, dog should be given out, I should have an opportunity to be first. Land opportunity as a citizen, I should be first. Voting, only Bahamians should vote.
Correct.
There are certain jobs in the police force and other places, only Bahamians should have those jobs. And if you are a Bahamian, you should be... When I signed on as a police officer, there was an oath that I had to take to defend the Commonwealth of the Bahamas with my life. Every police officer have to take that oath. And if you're not prepared to do that, you should not be there. And think about the risk of somebody who's not so committed being placed in your security intelligence branch, your CID division, and they're not committed. They will on your immigration department, they will talk everything. We did an operation once, we did an operation. And when we got there, we met abandoned houses all through the bush. You'd never believe it. And then we realized that the persons who were supposed to be some of the key persons were the ones who leaked the information. And I want to say we could deal with this. You have the Interception of Communications Act. You can go to a judge, and if you suspect that someone is doing something in contravention to public policy or is criminal in nature, you can listen to their conversations. I don't see how we don't do it and intercept some of these things. The other thing is that thousands of acres, we not only have gated communities that's established, you got those that are deep down in the bush that you can't get to.
Right.
And we have to deal with those. Not a Bahamian should be able to quiet land.
No.
There are too many persons coming into the Bahamas, and we don't see it, you know, who are looking for abandoned properties. And if they meet the 12-year requirement against a citizen, or if they meet the 60-year requirement against the government, they seek to quiet the land. If you're not a Bahamian, you should not be able to do that.
No, period.
You shouldn't be able to do it.
Bahamian shouldn't be able to do it, but I mean, talking heads.
Yes, please, good afternoon, Nordy, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, I am concerned. It's almost time for another election. Mr. Agent Gibson was brought before the court. Do you know the status of his case, sir?
Well, that matter's before the court.
I'm kind of sub judice. We can't really discuss that.
I don't really want to talk, but I know it's being taken very long.
I will ask you to discuss it.
Yeah.
But do you know why all of a sudden it has stopped? Do you know if the case that was brought against the Rackley lady and the...
I think that never made it to court, but then again, there it is again.
Well, it made it to court, but they couldn't find the file.
Our judge.
If your administration is successful, are you prepared to proceed with the case?
Well, I can't speak. You have an administration of justice headed by the Chief Justice. If there's a complaint about the length of time, mm-hmm. you make that to him. That's an independent branch of the government.
I mean, to many of us, something is drastically wrong. When all of a sudden a case that has been going on for the last almost 5 years,
yes.
and we can't adjudicate that, we don't have sufficient, people. You've wasted the court's time, the people's time, and you can't come to a conclusion as to whether Mr. Gibson is guilty or not.
One of my observations.
That's a slap in the face to son of a privilege and whatnot, like. Bishop said that those who have the money or right in the middle, nothing is being said about the case.
Let me say this: the matter is before the judiciary. I made a complaint against a magistrate the other day, and the Chief Justice took it, and I felt it as if it was dealt with fairly. If there are any concerns that you feel about it, you make that known to the Chief Justice, and I'll say to you what. The late Justice Stephen Isaac said, if you're concerned about it, you can write about it. Just don't interfere with the administration of justice. You can say publicly, I think this case is taking too long. As a matter of fact, privately, I think it's taking too long. But, the matter's before court. We have to be very careful how we speak to it. Yes, Ms. Reckley's case, I thought that one, I think, in my opinion, the investigation was crisp and clear. And that matter should have been begun a long time ago and could have perhaps finished. Look at Lanisha. That matter is before the court. And, she's ready and willing to defend herself, but it's not come up as yet. But then there are matters that are coming up with other persons who are going to 28. When you comment on these things, I think we must respect the independence of the court. You can say what you want, but not things that would undermine the independence of the judiciary.
Let me get to these texts. Bless up, Naughty, and good afternoon to your guests. I'm so excited to hear one of my favorite Bahamian intellectuals on your show, and the fact that he's talking about immigration makes it all that much better for me. My question today is in reference to the FNM's Operation Shield plan. I've read it a couple times and haven't noticed anything in it about constitutional reform or immigration policies. So my question to Mr. Johnson is, what is his and the party's position on the Constitution issues that must be addressed in order to bring some resolve to our immigration issues?
I think... the SHIELD program is a solid program. All it requires is implementation within the structure that you have just now. No less a person, I remember we had, when I was bar president, we had a town hall meeting, and Mr. Fred Smith said, Sir Loftus got it right. He was humane, but he was forceful. I remember when there was a gentleman who was working with Sir Lyndon, and they picked that gentleman up. He enforced the law without fear, favor, and or ill will, right? And so that is what we need. We need a department where the immigration officers are allowed to do what they're supposed to do. There's no way in 2022 that a former director of immigration, Mr. Benneby, should be able to come and say, listen, man, a citizenship was granted in immigration and I can't find the file. I've checked immigration, and there's no information where this man was interviewed by an immigration officer. None of the policies was found. As a matter of fact, the gentleman was unable to identify the coat of arms, couldn't say the national anthem, absolutely nothing. So it says to me that someone, like they're doing with all these no-bid contracts, is just leaping outside the system, and they know better. Someone who understands the significance of the Freedom of Information Act has decided that they're not going to follow it. When I put that thing about the way they're giving out immigration status in the Bahamas is rank, vulgar, and loose. There's no regard for nothing. And people say, how do you fly out of the Bahamas into another person, country's airspace without them knowing? And you have to circle the airport, then land and be on the airport for hours. And but for the fact that someone blow the whistle, you'd never known that they'd taken the money, and they've never explained whether or not they've put the monies back that they took for a political purpose. And they do it over. We don't know how much they've spent on the 50-year anniversary yet. Cat Island still has potholes. After four, you know, Mr. Christie must be very disappointed, because I remember in a public engagement, he said to Mr. Davis, go in Cat Island and do what Mr. Ingram did in Abaco. Build the airports, refurbish the roads, put healthcare facilities in. We still have to put people on ice in Cat Island.
All right, we got to get to the break. Flip side of the break, we'll be back to wrap things up with Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, the FNM's ratified candidate for the Yamacraw constituency. Texas, I get to the rest of them for you. And we'll talk sports before we wrap up as well, so keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including VAT. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the six-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you look trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLP.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
Flavored Island Games,
we making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games,
we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So Bahamian's voice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Kayla's in the building.
Yeah. All right, all ready to show. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun up? Just remember when you come up. Show's up.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. Just going to wrap things up with my special guest, Mr. Ellsworth Johnson, the FNM's ratified candidate for Yamacraw. I want to thank you for stopping by again, Ellsworth, and being so candid in the conversation, and especially speaking to immigration, because I think it's answered a lot of questions for Bahamians that have their concerns. But before we get out of here and I pivot to sports, you have anything to say to the constituents of Yamacraw?
As I say, listen, I presented to them, looked them in the eye, let them know who I am personally and professionally, my reason for running. And what I say to the members of the constituency of Yamacraw is allow nobody through stealth or deception to come to you and not be able to fully speak to you about the issues, the burning issues in our country, the provision of health care, education, the president of Belinda Wilson, Ms. Bill Balls in immigration, the lack of staff, the lack of equipment. And so they have to be able to speak to you about those things and partner with you and say how they're going to improve it. No-bid contracts, how does that affect the national overall budget, a government that refuses and is unwilling to adhere to the fiscal responsibility legislation and or the Freedom of Information Act. Immigration, a hot burning topic. Don't allow Mr. Davis or any of his cronies to tell you that is not a crisis. When immigration gets out of hand, it produces a social, cultural, economic, and national security crisis because you can't deal with it. You cannot respond in terms of your education establishment, your healthcare establishment, your police officers can't respond properly. So it has to be done properly. How do Bahamians become directly involved in the economic environment of this country? What these guys are creating is a system of dependency, giving you a roadside contract or this contract while the multi-million to friends, family, and lovers. It's designed for everybody to participate. You want to know what the heads of agreements are. You want to have town hall meetings. You want to know what your commissioner is doing. You want to know what facilities are being put in place to protect you and your children. But what I find this season is that people want to come, they want to have these large parties, they'll have these long road proceedings with the gentleman who is now in Yamacraw. He's much more given. Men don't wind up and grind up to Zumba the way that doesn't happen, right? More concentrating on three-piece suits rather than the national issues that affect Bahamians yet unborn. For the adults, our time is as common as almost gone, Naughty. We have to concentrate on our present and our future. Who's our present and our future? That is our children. How do we create an environment that they could self-sustain and they could be competitive in this environment? Many Bahamians are talking we have. You want your children to be able to participate and own a piece of the rock. And so I'm here. We have two headquarters, one Twynham Park, one on Cornwall Boulevard. Please come out, see me. We're moving about in the community. And you can ask me any question as long as you're respectful. Entertain everybody. There's no reason to be cursing out anybody in this election. And Naughty, you know, I think I speak for my leader when I say this. We don't encourage a slack, loose, and vulgar type of communication that I see that's going on. And I want to tell persons who are participating in the election process that it's still unlawful to use obscene language to the annoyance of people. They could report you to the police. And women are going on the airwaves by way of social media. That's not the... Listen, there's something that never comes in and out of style. And that is the beautiful femininity of a phenomenal woman. They are the cradle of our society. And no lady should allow herself or themselves to be used in the way that I see persons are allowing themselves to be used doing this campaign. Remember, the international community is watching, but most importantly, our children are watching, and we want an environment where our seniors could participate. We've spoken about everybody. We have a very vibrant senior citizens connection in Yamacraw, but we hardly ever speak about senior citizens abuse and where you don't create a community where you're looking after, because we become the seniors.
Right.
We need health care. We need protection. We need food. We need assistance. We need to be able to create that. And so in Yamacraw, we're looking at a community center. We had the property section off in an area of Yamacraw, working with the youth. and speaking directly to social issues. So we're working. We're on the ground.
Well, we got a couple more weeks before the day is here, so I'm sure we'll have you back on before then.
Register to vote.
I want to thank you for coming out. And yes, like Mr. John says, register to vote. You got between now and 10 p.m. tonight? Maybe 10 p.m. tonight, I think, is the cutoff point.
I think about 10, yes.
All right, so get out there and toe the line, and if it goes over and you're in the line, they got to register.
Everybody, they will register who's in that line. And do not let them use you as a public media gimmick. They're doing that. They love to do that.
Your vote counts. Your vote matters. And whichever party, you know, you gravitate to, use your vote wisely. All
absolutely.
Right? The vote you make may be the country you save. All right? The country you save may be your own. All right? We want to thank Mr. Johnson. We'll see him before the 12th. And a quick commercial break. Flip side of the break, we'll be talking sports to wrap things up right here on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads, which continues right after this.
Day at the beach, we supply a wide variety of beach toys, floats, and pails, now at 15% off. Protect your family from the harmful UVA and UVB rays with Coppertone Sunblock at special low pricing all summer long. Partying with friends and family, we have you covered with Kingsford Charcoal for all your grilling needs. With four convenient locations to serve you at Harbor Bay, Soldier Road, Palmdale, and Southwest Plaza. Happy 42nd Independence, Bahamas, from Lowe's Pharmacy, where we care about.
It's back, Agri-Expo 2026, presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th at the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, our heritage, our future, comes alive with the latest farming technologies, exciting cooking demonstrations and competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Quarter, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for everyone. Bring the whole family and celebrate what feeds our nation. Agri-Expo 2026. Let's get growing.
KFC got that crispy onions crunch. Take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little playful wild. Brioche bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC get cheeky with it. Hey. Taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so lit it. Got my whole crew doing their thing. Crispy onions, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going off.
Introducing the new sweet chicky chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get chicky with it.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy, Naughty, in your company right up until 6 p.m. We're talking sports right now. Let me give you some breaking sports news, and we'll get into some updated scores. I'll get you my picks for the night. And, of course, we got a solid Rich Eisen taking us home today with Albert Breer, breaking down everything pertaining to the NFL draft, because there's a lot of moving and shaking now at the top of the NFL draft. Number 3, Arizona Cardinals, willing to trade out of that spot. Number 6, Cleveland Browns, entertaining offers to trade out of that spot. The Dallas Cowboys at number 12 want to move up this and higher up from further back, i.e. the Seattle Seahawks are one. The Los Angeles Rams are another. So some interesting moving and shaking going to be going on. Albert Breer, one of the NFL's experts, especially when it comes to draft time, is going to break it down for you. All right, that's going to be our take home today. But right now, breaking sports news, prosecutors seek Tiger's prescription drug records. So they want to know what's going on with, what pills Tiger are popping. And that whole situation is crazy. Did you see that, Mr. Producer? As soon as it happened, the first person he called was Donald Trump. Trump knew everybody. Lopez and Soler given 7-game suspensions from that brawl yesterday. And that was quite the brawl between Soler of the Braves and Lopez of the Angels. That was quite a fight. That was a juicy one. I cannot run lie. That was one of the better ones we've seen in a while. And sad news from baseball, and I know Pearlie will be saddened by this. Dodger legend and speedster, the great Davey Lopes, has passed away at the age of 80. Lost a legend there. One of the great ones coming up. Always enjoyed watching him play. And let's check out some NBA news real quick as we go to the games on tap for tonight. And they got a lot on tap for tonight. Wow, how many? Let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 big ones on tap tonight. Breaking NBA news. Cunningham expected to play against the Bucks. That's Cade Cunningham of the Pistons expected to play against the Bucks. The Sacramento Kings, the late foul was an error. They're not tanking. Doug Christie on the screen. I think that was a creative way of tanking right there. Redick downplays sideline quarrel with Vanderbilt. Listen, J.J. Redick has had sideline quarrels with Luka, LeBron, Austin Reeves, Redick. That's just how they roll there. For the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama with the rib cage injury and Castle, his knee injury, they are out for the Spurs in tonight's game. Jason Tatum preparing for a Madison Square Garden return. He's considering it just another game. And when asked about his future, the Bucks Doc Rivers started talking about his grandkids. So I think he's going to be showing the exit in the offseason. All right, let's look at the games on tap tonight in the NBA. And then, of course, like I said, we got Albert Breer taking us home with the latest on the NFL draft. The Hawks and the Cavaliers. I like the Cavaliers tonight. 3.5 points. I like the Cavs to cover the 3.5 at home. Timberwolves on the road against the Magic. Timberwolves snake bitten and injured. Orlando -10.5 point favorites. I'll play it safe. Magic in the money line. Sometimes they play down to the competition, especially if they're injured. Bucks on the road against the Pistons. Pistons 20.5 point favorites. I like the Pistons to win. I don't know if they cover the 20.5, so take the Pistons in the money line. Grizzlies on the road against favorites. Can't really judge because you don't know who's tanking in some of these games. You don't know who's resting players for the playoffs in some of these games. So I'll take the Nuggets in the money line over the Grizzlies. Spurs -3.5 over the Trailblazers. No Wembanyama, no Castle. I don't want to touch this one, but I'll risk it tonight and say the Spurs cover the 3.5. Because they play well without Wemby. This is true. So let's see who steps up. Probably De'Aaron Fox. Thunder on the road against the Clippers. Thunder 8.5 point favorites over the Clippers. I like the Thunder to cover and win tonight against the Clippers. Mavericks on the road against the Suns. Phoenix 12.5 point favorites. I like Phoenix to win in the money line. I don't think they cover the 12.5 points. All right, that's a wrap right there on the Wednesday, April 8th edition of Talking Heads. Quick commercial break. On the flip side of the break, Rich Eisen and Albert Breer taking us home, breaking down all the moving and shaking at the top of the NFL draft. There will be trades. Some teams will move up, and some big names will end up in some big cities. So I want you to listen on out for that. And keep, Dolphin fans, listen out, too. Your name keeps popping up in this as well. All right? Keep it right where you got it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that they're coming back that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys. I'm rapping around the world for Africa to New York. Naughty back at you with my free pick of the day, brought to you by the Island Game. Today in the NBA, the Nuggets on the road taking on the Grizzlies. Nuggets, money line versus the Grizzlies. That's my free pick of the day. Nuggets, money line. Play it and win with the Island Game. The game you know, the friends you trust. And the Island Game always reminds you to play responsibly.
What's the story of the draft right now? What's the story of it?
I think, like, it's... I mean, I would say once you get past Fernando Mendoza, it's kind of how these guys are going to come off the board. And I think, like, one of, to me, the most interesting things is that you don't really have the prototypes, right? Like, so in other words, you don't have like the Myles Garrett defensive end. You don't have the Patrick Surtain corner, Jalen Ramsey corner. You don't have the Joe Alt left tackle. You don't have the Julio Jones or AJ Green or Calvin Johnson receiver, which I think, like, it's not great for you if you're picking in the top 10 as one of those teams, but I think it actually is going to make for a more dramatic, less predictable first night of the draft, because you're going to be looking at it, you're going to say, okay, at the premium positions, right? You know, are you going to compromise a little bit on David Bailey, who's not as good against the run, or Arvel Reese, who you you have to have a plan for him, right? The great tackles in this year's draft are right tackles, not left tackles. You know, the receivers are good and there's depth there, but it's not great at the top. You know, so like you kind of juxtapose that against maybe the best players in the draft are at non-premium positions. So that's Jeremiah Love, the Notre Dame running back, Sonny Styles, the Ohio State linebacker, Caleb Downs, the Ohio State safety. And so, you know, to me, like, that's the most interesting thing is I do think there's a little less certainty within the top 10 and more guys who could jump in or fall out of the top 10 as a result of all of this.
Let me dovetail on that with a take that might be hot, Albert, which, mm-hmm. you know, is not usually my lane, but you're like, we don't have prototypes in this draft.
Yeah.
And you could start with Fernando Mendoza's not like the Joe Burrow of quarterbacks, first overall either.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Cousins being signed in Vegas to not hedge, but to provide the Raiders with the room to potentially mm-hmm. groom and sit is a signal that's the case at the top of this draft. He's the avatar of not the prototype, but a really good player with a high ceiling. That could be the draft, the 2026 draft. A lot of great players with some high ceilings, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I would say, like, for sure, in that, like, we could be talking about Arvell Reese winding up being like Micah Parsons. You just, again, you have to have a plan for it because he doesn't, like, really fit in the box of what you'd be looking for a pass rusher you take that high, but neither did Parsons, you know, when he came out 5 years ago. You know, I think that ceiling exists with, again, the guy I love is an exciting dynamite player. You know, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, same thing. Really good football players, high football IQ, all of that. And, you know, it's interesting. I've juxtaposed this, like, with, like, all right, if you look at, like, the totality of the decisions these teams are going to make, right? I look at the Lions 2023 draft, and you remember because you were sitting on that stage, they got crushed for taking a running back, Jahmyr Gibbs, and a linebacker, Jack Campbell, at 12 and 18 with their two first-round picks. And it was on the premise that these are just the best players. And Jahmyr Gibbs speaks for himself what that's become, right? Like, as like a do-everything running back. And then, you know, Jack Campbell was first team All-Pro this year. And then in the second round, they wind up with Sam Laporta, a tight end, and Brian Branch, like a corner safety hybrid. And those guys are really good players too. And I think that's sort of the decision-making for the teams up top now is, do we just go with a really good player where we know what he's going to be? And maybe he doesn't play again one of those premium positions, but at least we have an idea that this guy can be a difference maker for us. Or do we roll the dice on the ceiling on some of the other guys? And, you know, so again, that's a guy like a Reese, you know, a Francis Maui-Noah, the tackle from Miami. You know, most people think he's strictly a right tackle, but maybe he can be a really top end right tackle, you know? So I think in those circumstances, you know, you're looking at it and you're taking like the guys at the non-premium positions where you have a really good idea of what those guys are for, you know, you're projecting a little bit more.